For us as our introit today, that it may please thee to bless the lands and the waters and all who work upon them, to bring forth food and all things needful for thy people. Winters, California is a town of 7,000 people. It is 30 miles west of Sacramento, 60 miles from San Francisco. If you've ever driven north up the Napa Valley, it's behind the hills that you see to your east. Winters is where Cynthia and I lived for 6 years when I worked in Sacramento. It was the only time in my life when the seasons of the year were marked by what was happening in fields and orchards that surrounded our home. The only time in my life when I have felt deeply connected to agriculture and the sources of our food. Our home was in an almond orchard. I learned that on Valentine's Day, the white almond blossom would be at its peak. What a glorious sight it was. As the petals fell to the ground, the driveway looked like it was covered with snow. We worried about bees and whether there would be enough to pollinate the trees. We were told that in the past, there had been acres and acres of almond orchards, and that ours was the only one left. Where almonds had not been grown in the past, there had been plum orchards, and they too were gone. There was more money to be made in walnuts, and they were a safer crop. And so the farmers had ripped out the almonds and the plums and planted walnuts. There were literally thousands of acres of walnut trees. The native black walnuts are more resistant to insects, but the English walnut is more productive. So every walnut tree had been grafted. They were grafted by hand. Each tree had a thick, dark trunk, which grew no more than 2 feet above the ground. That was the black walnut root. And then you could see the lighter trunk of the English walnut, which made up the rest of the trunk and the branches of the tree. The wide, thick leaves of the walnuts meant that no sun penetrated to the ground in a walnut orchard. There was just bare dirt under row upon row of trees. What I remember are the noises of the walnut orchards. There were the massive impulse sprinklers that splashed great jets of water in circles around the orchard. They would run them for a week at a time, and then for the rest of the month, they lay quiet. There were the massive foggers that roared as they were driven through the rows of trees, spraying insecticides and fertilizer. There were mechanical shakers that would grab the trees and shake them violently so that nuts would drop. They used those on our almonds too. The joke was that California farmers called almonds ammons because they knew the L had been shaken out of them. In If you go to buy walnuts or almonds at Publix, the brand that they sell is called Mariani. It's one of the largest privately owned nut companies in the United States. The Mariani brothers started their company in Winters, and their largest nut processing facility is still there. I eat almonds every day, and it always brings a tear of nostalgia to my eye when I see the Winters address on the packaging. About a mile to the east of us, the orchards abruptly ended and were replaced by massive flat fields that stretched as far as you could see. In those fields, they grew Roma tomatoes and sunflowers. The fields were edged with concrete irrigation canals that carried the icy snowmelt down from the Sierras. The ground was so flat that you could see the Sierras in the distance, probably 70 miles away. There was always concern about the snowfall in the Sierras. Without the snow in the mountains, the Central Valley of California, that's called the Salad Bowl of America, is a desert. In the spring, these flat, mile-wide fields were furrowed, and then the tomatoes and sunflowers were planted by armies of migrant workers. A suction hose was placed in each furrow with an end in the canal, and each furrow would fill with water. Then the hoses would be removed, and the plants would grow from the water that was held in the ground. There was no rain. For the tomatoes, the timing had to be just right. The tomatoes had to ripen just as the field dried out enough for the huge mechanical pickers to drive in, pick up the tomatoes, and haul them to the waiting trucks. All the tomatoes were trucked to the Campbell Soup plant that rose like a massive oil refinery out of the ground on Pedrick Road, just west of Dixon. It, along with a plant in Stockton, are the backbone of the Campbell Soup supply. I drove along Pedrick Road every day. It was my route to work. The tomatoes that spilled from the trucks and were crushed on the road during harvest meant that it was like driving through marinara sauce. If you think the log trucks around here are a hazard, the tomato trucks are just as big, they drive just as fast, and they hurl tomatoes at your car. It's all very messy. The sunflowers were another story. While there was enough water in the ground for them to grow, they were a glorious sight, their massive heads turning to follow the sun. But then, when the ground dried up, so would they. And they were simply left to stand there and wither in the blazing sun. But that was planned. The dried sunflower seeds were what was harvested. The stalks were discarded. And withered stalks have less bulk than green ones. Those 6 years drove home for me that when agriculture works, there is plenteous abundance. But there is so much that can go wrong. The nut farmers dreaded heavy frosts, freak winds, blight, the summer fires that could be sparked in the dry grasses on the Napa Hills. The tomato farmers dreaded the week-long torrential rains that could sweep in on a storm out of the Gulf of Alaska and make it impossible for those harvesters to drive into the fields. A 40-mile-an-hour gale, which was pretty common out of the north, could flatten the sunflowers. Trucks, tractors, harvesters are hugely expensive pieces of machinery. A breakdown could cost thousands of dollars to repair. And time lost on a crucial day during harvest meant a ruined crop. The 6 years that we were there were drought years. Each year, the snowpack in the mountains was half what it should be. The water levels in Lake Shasta, Folsom Lake, and Lake Berryessa were a nightly feature on the news. Would there be sufficient water to irrigate the fields? It was a huge worry. In 1800, 83% of the American labor force was involved in agriculture. In 1860, it was still close to 60%. Nowadays, it is 2%. By no means am I alone in saying that most of my life has been lived disconnected from the source of our food, and thus disconnected from all that has to go just right for the aisles in our grocery stores to be filled. The three rogation days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, before the Thursday Feast of the Ascension, were first introduced as a response to a famine by the local bishop in Vienne, town on the Rhone in southeastern France. There had been years of drought, but matters were made worse because the Roman Empire was collapsing and successive waves of Germanic invaders had disrupted the cycles of planting and harvesting. Seeing people die of hunger, the bishop became convinced that it was God's punishment for their sins, and so he called for 3 days of penance, a mini Lent, thus the violet that I'm wearing today. He also called for earnest prayer for successful planting that would lead to a bountiful harvest. The practice of observing these 3 days to ask for God's blessing as the crops were planted spread throughout Europe, and it was eventually endorsed by the Pope. Rogation is from the Latin word rogare, to ask. The act of asking is humbling. We don't like to ask because we think we can do it alone. Our massive Publix on Highway 19, where hundreds shop each day and the shelves are always stocked, surely desensitizes us to all that must go right for that bounty to be there. I mean to say, do we really need to get down on our knees and pray for the crops? I don't like to beg, and I certainly don't like to beg for something that I feel confident I will get. But I know from living in winters that all is not guaranteed. Everything has to go just right. Three rogation days are less than 1% of the year. I think we do well to spend that 1% of our time at a minimum, thanking God for his blessings and asking him to continue to bless. What living in Winters and so close to all its agricultural activity drove home for me is this. We may indeed plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the ground, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Amen.